You notice my message this morning says, if you can't take the heat, get out of the desert. Now, you guys thought I was preaching about kitchen and food? No. Well, maybe. Can't take the heat, get out of the desert. How many have ever seen a desert? You know, what did you think? It's hot. What else? Don't want to live there. What else? Very dry. What else? Huh? Dusty, sand. You know, first time I ever got to see a physical desert, I had to go on a business trip down to Mexico. And so we had to go into Juarez. And so what I did was, that was right after my open heart surgery. That was like 5 months after my open heart surgery. And my wife wasn't too thrilled about me going on this trip 5 months after having a quadruple bypass by myself. So her and Austin decided they were going to Texas with us. And we stayed in Texas. And then they took me across the border to work with the company. And so what I did was, since I had never been down in that area, I said, well, if I'm taking my family, I might as well schedule a couple vacation days in around this work schedule and see some stuff. So we went up into New Mexico. And so I got to see the desert for the first time. And you know, as we drove up the road and you start to see, and all of a sudden, everything changes. Okay? Like you said, there was sand. Not much green at all. You know, every once in a while you saw these cactus spotted out through the thing. But it wasn't really much of anything but sand and dust. And all the roads and all the cars and everybody that's in that area, they're just filthy. You know, and I thought, same things you guys, you know. This is kind of neat, but I wouldn't want to live here. And everything is so dry. And it's a wonder anything grows. Yet in the desert, there's amazing things at times. I have been to Death Valley. How many here have been to Death Valley? Okay. Joe and Pete. All right. Death Valley isn't a desert. It's got to be worse than a desert. Okay? We drove down into Death Valley. And first off, you know, it's... They tell you have a four-wheel drive if you're going to go down in there because it's not real accessible to some things. And we started driving around in that. And lo and behold, down in the bottom of Death Valley, we found water. And I'm thinking, water. Let me tell you, it wasn't water. It might have been wet, but it wasn't water. It stunk. You couldn't, no way could you purify it to drink it because it was full of dirt and grit and sand and salt and everything else, and it was awful. Now, I happened to go in October, and so I got to miss on some of the things because they say in the spring is when Death Valley is in its wet climate. They get a half inch of rain a year. That's their wet time. And the flowers grow. And it's pretty in places. But when you go into Death Valley and you go into that desert area, you look around you and it's like, man, I don't want to be here. And I thought back, you know, because I've always been a history buff. And I thought back about the many guys that traveled across that area as they, you know, when they were going like to settle into California. A lot of times they had to cross that area to get to California. Many, many people made the trip and didn't make it out the other side. And I thought, you know, it's amazing when you think about it that the desert is just so dry and awful looking. But then I thought about it and I said, why do we like to be in the desert at times? We like to be in the desert at times. You know why? Because we think we can get away. There's nothing there. But the desert, you know, look through scripture. Boy, there's so many, you know, I had a hard time. Because limiting it to one scripture about the desert in the Bible is almost impossible. Yeah. If you look, you had Moses. He made a couple journeys into the desert, didn't he? First off, why? Because he killed somebody and he had to escape. And it said he went to the across the desert and they put him out there and they thought, okay, he's going to die. But it said he made it to the backside of the desert. Okay? And in the backside of the desert, what did he find? Blessing. On the backside of the desert. We know that then Moses, because of disobedience of people, what did he have to do? Had to wander around through the desert for another 40 years. You think when Moses started out on that trip that he said, man, I'm gonna be wandering around this desert for 40 years. This is gonna be a great time. Huh? No. Moses knew God's promise, and God's promise says, I'm taking you to the promised land. It's just going to take you 40 years to get there because you guys don't know how to listen. So I started looking. I said, all right, if we spend time in the desert, why? And what do we got to do to get out of the desert? So the scripture I picked this morning, and there's another one that I thought about, you know, Jesus there. Why did he go to the desert? Why'd God send Jesus to the desert? Is there an answer? Huh? To be tempted. Wait a minute. God sent Jesus out into the desert to be tempted? I don't want to be tempted, so I guess I'll stay out of the desert. See, that's what we've got to understand is, why are we in the desert at times? Why does God allow us? Why does God even sometimes put us in the desert? When you look at 1 Kings chapter 17, you got a story about Elijah. Okay? And Elijah, we know, was a great prophet. And I started with verse 8 here. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. Now, I got to go back a little bit so you understand this story, okay? There was a king, and this king, anybody know his name? Ahab. King Ahab, okay? And he was the king, and, you know, he was supposed to be the king of the area where the Jews were residing, but he was kind of swayed by things. And anybody know what he started to do? He started to worship Baal. Okay, just letting it creep in. And so Elijah, of course, by God, was sent, and if you read earlier verses and stuff, was sent to Ahab, and he said, Ahab, he said, God sent me to tell you that, guess what? There's going to be a drought in this land. And you know why? The drought is because of you. Now, I thought about that. And I thought, am I in a desert? If I'm in a desert, am I in a desert because of me? Because here was Ahab in a land that was plentiful and was doing good. And all of a sudden, this guy comes named Elijah, and he says to Ahab, and he says, look, he says, God told me to tell you, there's going to be a drought, and the drought is because of you. And so, I think God was giving Ahab a chance. And Ahab said, yeah, right, I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to worship who I want to worship. And so there was a drought. Now, what would have been nice for Elijah is if God would say, hey, Elijah, there's going to be a drought. I'm sending you to Eastern Europe. You know, I'm going to send you up there where it's nice and cool and a lot of rain and the sun comes out and it makes everything beautiful. But here was Elijah. And he went and he told him. And then He had to stay in the desert. You see anything important in that? Sometimes I'm in a desert because of somebody else. And I may not realize it. But anyhow, Elijah, God tells Elijah, he says, but, you know, I'm going to provide for you, Elijah, while you're in the desert here. I don't want you to leave the desert. I want you to be staying here. And I want you to be serving me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you this little brook. And you just live by the brook. And every morning, I'm going to send ravens over to bring you some food. Okay? What an arrangement, huh? I get to sit next to the stream and get fed. By a bird. By a bird that is what? Considered. What's a raven considered? An unclean, unhealthy, you know, a raven's a predator. Like we would call a vulture. You know, how many of you would like to have the vulture bringing you your food? You know what they like to eat, right? Okay. All right, let's put ourselves here in the picture of Elijah. God tells Elijah, see, I'm sending a drought. You're going to be in the desert with the rest of these folks, but I'm going to provide for you with this little brook, and the ravens are going to bring you food. My first thought is not the way I want to have dinner. Huh? In his case, breakfast, because they said in the morning. See, breakfast is an important meal. You need to get rotten meat. That's just... So here's Elijah, and he goes by the brook. And the drought continues on. What happens in drought? Everything dries up. And the brook dried up. Now, remember what Elijah has said to Ahab? You're going to be in this drought, and until God tells me to end the drought, you're going to live in it. Okay? You're going to live in it. When God tells me that you've had enough, then he'll do something, and I'll let you know. By the way, God, could you do a little sooner than later? Because you're making me live in somebody else's desert. No, Elijah just relied on God, trusted on God. And so here we have Elijah, and now the brook dries up. And guess what? The ravens quit coming. That might have been a blessing, but you know. But the brook dries up and the ravens quit coming. And this is where we find this part of the scripture then. And so God comes to him and he says, get up and go to Zarephath. Now, understand. Zarephath was still in the desert area. Okay? He wasn't still sending them to the land of milk and honey. He was sending them to a town that was in this drought. And he says, get up and go to Zarephath. And he says, go to him and stay there. And behold, I commanded the widow to provide for you. And so here is Elijah, and he gets up and he goes. God forgot something, didn't he? Did God forget something? Well, what's the story say? So he arose and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks to call to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And she was going to get it and he called to her and said, please bring a piece of bread. And she says, as the Lord God lives, I don't have a piece of bread. Wait, God. You just told me to go, and this widow was going to provide, and she tells me she doesn't have anything to give me. She doesn't have any bread. She says, look, I have a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. Behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare me and my son our last meal, that we may eat it and die. Think about it. If you're Elijah, what do you think about God's plan right now? Right about now. What do you think about it? All right. I'm in the desert. I'm in the desert because somebody else is worshiping a God that, and I'm not. I love you, God, but I'm in your desert. Now you're sending me in another portion of the desert and you're telling me somebody's taking care of me. And she says, I don't have anything. I'm dying anyhow. Isn't that how it is in the desert? Isn't that not how it is? When we look at our lives and when we get into a place where we're having a spiritual battle in our lives, we're in the desert. And when we're in the desert, we don't want to hear God tell us, hey, everything's all right, when we look around us and it's not. And so here comes Elijah and he says, all right, I don't know, but he says, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Go make me some bread anyhow. Wait, I just told you, think about this woman, I just told you, I have enough to make my son and I one cake. And we're going to eat it and then we're going to die because we don't have anything else. And he says, well, make it for me. He said, afterward, then go ahead and make one for you and your son. I want you to see this whole story and this whole picture is the fact that when we're in the desert, first off, we're not in the desert always because of what we do. Sometimes it's because of what we do. Ahab was in the desert because of what he did, wasn't he? Ahab was in the desert because of disobedience. And so God wanted to teach him something there. Elijah was in the desert because of Ahab's disobedience. Not something he did, but wait. Did God want to teach him something? Oh, and then we find this woman who has a son, and she's in the same desert. What did she do wrong? Just tried to feed her son, keep her son alive. And yet she suffered because of Ahab. And Elijah comes to her and he says, hey, I want you to feed me. What if you were that woman? Ladies, I can't ask you men to think about if you're that woman because you're not. You don't think like a woman, okay? You don't think like a woman. But ladies, let me ask you. You're in the midst of a serious problem. Financially, you're downright broke. You don't have much left. And somebody comes to your house and says, hey, how about give me dinner? What's your first reaction? How many would say, oh, sure, come on in. A stranger, no less. A stranger walks up to you and says, and you tell them, wait, I only got enough for one more meal and I'm going to die. And he says, well, give it to me anyhow. See, this woman had to have a relationship with God too. Because she was getting a blessing, wasn't she? She was going to get a blessing out of this whole story that she didn't even realize was happening. She didn't know why the drought was there. Did Elijah know why the drought was there? Yeah. Elijah knew why the drought was there because God told Elijah, go and tell him because if you aren't going to listen, this is what's going to be the reaction. And so there was the drought. Elijah knew exactly what was causing it. But he comes to this woman who knows nothing about it. All the fact that she has enough flour and oil to make a small cake for her and her son's last meal. But she's still in that desert. And so I want you to see how God works in the desert. Because see, here's the amazing thing is God does not want us to live in the desert. But God will allow us to live in the desert to teach us. And so when we look at this whole story, and we know if you read on that this widow made the cake, gave Elijah the cake. And then for quite a while, fed Elijah and her son and herself off of this handful of flour and a little bit of oil. Can you imagine the amazement every time she would go to make a cake and that flour was still there and that oil was still there? Huh? Now see, Elijah knew it was going to be happening because God had told him, right? God says, I provided a widow. But I like the wording in the scripture. It says, I commanded the widow to take care of you. But the widow didn't know it. Did she? Because when he first showed up, what was her reaction? Is, hey, man, I've only got a little bit. Enough to feed us one more time and we're dying. It didn't talk. She didn't answer like a woman that knew what God was planning, huh? And, oh, by the way, that God had commanded. But see, when I look at that aspect of God's command, is I think that what he did was there was a woman who loved him. And he knew that she would react in that loving manner. And so when he told Elijah, I've commanded her to feed you, it wasn't that he had set out and put a little writing and told her up front. He said, I've commanded her through her communication with me in the spirit that she has the type of heart that will reach out and do what you tell her to do. That's what I believe God was showing Elijah there. So how do we get out of the desert? The first step is we have to understand is we have to listen to God's direction. Okay, Elijah was commanded first off to go to the brook and be fed by the ravens. Not my eye. You guys that saw the Facebook post of Austin's picture, yeah, my comment was not my ideal of an ideal vacation. Well, I'll be honest with you. Sitting by a brook getting fed by ravens is not my idea of an ideal vacation spot, okay, in the middle of the desert. But here Elijah was, and he listened. And he listened to say, here's what I got to do. But what else do we see in this whole picture? Is first off, we see a group of people who are worshiping Baal who didn't care about God. Elijah told them what was going to happen. They continued. Not like, you know, I almost preached on Jonah. I thought we didn't get enough out of that. But unlike Nineveh, they didn't respond, did they? Ahab continued to worship Baal. And so this drought come upon them. And God then directs Elijah. He goes to the brook. He listens to God. And he's in the desert. Now, I want you to see something here. Did Elijah have the fear that God wasn't going to take care of him? When we get in our desert, do we not often have fear that God's really not in control of the plan because we don't understand God's plan? Do we have fears that come in and say, am I really going to be able to do this? Did the woman who had only enough to make one cake for her and her son before they died, did she have fear of making that cake for Elijah when he said, make me it? He didn't even say, I don't know exactly what he said, but it doesn't say here. He said, he didn't say, God told me to tell you this. He said, just, hey, don't have any fear. Do as you said, make a little bread cake, bring it to me first, and then go make one. Wait a minute, Elijah, I just told you I don't have any, I have enough for one. Did she have fear to not believe what Elijah, or did she recognize that, hey, here's a man of God? I think she had to recognize Elijah as a man of God. I think she had to have enough faith in her that when it said God commanded her, that she recognized that here's a man of God, and he's telling me to do something, and this will please God if I do it. Even if I don't have enough for my own cake, it'll please God if I do this. Do we think in that light all the time? Because that's what God wants us to see in the desert. We have to leave our comfort zone. We have to let go of our fears in the desert. Now, the second thing is that we have to look for God's provision while we're in the desert. Do you find it amazing that when the brook dried up and the ravens stopped coming, that Elijah just didn't get up right away and start looking for something else? Huh? Would you have? If any of you were in this situation Elijah was in, and you were sitting there, and you were being, God told you to go to this brook, and all of a sudden there's no water and there's no food, what's our first thought? Go find some. Go find some. See, Jesus was in the desert for 40 days to be tempted. He was offered food. He was offered drink by Satan. Oh, he could have found some too. But see, he waited on God, didn't he? He said, all right, you know, God wants this to happen. Well, Elijah didn't immediately, when the brook dried up, and I'm saying that when it says the brook dried up, I think it stopped just like that. Okay? I mean, it probably was getting low, but I think when it dried up, it stopped. And it's no more water. The ravens, when they didn't bring just a little bit of food and the next day a little bit less. No, it stopped. And here's Elijah sitting there next to that brook. And my first reaction of what I think I would do is, all right, I'm going to get up and I'm going to move and I'm going to find something else that I'm going to get something to eat and something to drink, because I don't think I'm going to like this sitting here with nothing. You know? But it shows us that Elijah waited upon God. And he waited for God to give him direction while he was in the desert. He didn't react just because of a situation. He didn't react because all of a sudden I'm in this desert and this event happens and now I'm going to change my reaction. No, he said, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God. And God is here and God is present with me and God is in control and God led me here. So guess what, folks? He's going to get me out. I don't have to worry about getting out myself. He's going to get me out. And so he waited on God, and God said, all right, enough waiting. Go here. Wait a minute, God. You know, they're in the same drought that we're in. Can't you send me somewhere else? No. God said, go here. He got up. He went to the widow. Now, I told you what the widow's reaction was. But what do you think Elijah's had to think when she said, well, this is all I got, and this is my son and I's last meal, and I really don't want to give it to you. Would your faith waver a little bit when you said, God, you sent me here, and you said you commanded and you prepared, but seems to me you're a little ill-prepared here. Do you have another widow in mind? You have somebody else that maybe has two handfuls of flour and oil so they at least can make two cakes? Did you have to send me to this one? Isn't that our reaction at times? When we're in that desert spot, when things aren't going right and Satan's tempting us and things around us just don't seem there and the spiritual aspect of our life is dried up a little bit, and we get there. Believe me, we all get there. We all get to the spot that sometimes we're just not as close to God because of events and aspects of our life and things going on around us and fears and turmoils and troubles and trials and deaths. And we get to the spot, unlike one young lady that said today, the closer I am, the more I'm relying on God, the more I feel at ease. We don't often get into that, oh, God, yeah, you know, hey, it wasn't enough that I had this test, but now you're going to give me another test. Now you're going to throw another one on there. And God, just bring it on. Why did the Israelites spend 40 years in the desert? What did they do? Huh? They what? They grumbled. Oh, God. You've been giving us meat, and you've been giving us this, and now all of a sudden all we're going to get is this yucky bread, and it doesn't even taste good, and it's going to go away, and it spoils by the next day. God! Don't we sound like that at times? Huh? Don't we sound like that at times? Yeah, it says they whined, and they grumbled. Now, of course, we're much stronger than those Israelites, and so we never whine and grumble. Right? That's right. We never whine and grumble. But here was Elijah, and he's in this spot. I want you to see, though. One is he listened to God's direction. Two is he looked for God's provision. But the third thing that Elijah does here is he relies on God's blessing. Okay? Does he say, hey, I've got some money, I'll give it to you, and you can go buy some more? No. Does he say, hey, come on, we'll take it down, and we'll find some here? No. He tells the woman, he says, hey, you make me a cake. Then make one for yourself. He didn't even tell the woman up front, oh, God's going to provide for you. He said, look, just make me a cake. I'm hungry. haven't had anything to eat for days. I've been in this desert. I haven't had anything to drink. I haven't had anything to eat. I'm really down and out. I need it. I don't care that you're going to die if you don't have it. No. He looked at her. He says, do this. Anybody here? Well, no, I won't ask it that way. All right. Because I know none of you would like it, because I'm not that likable at times. Okay? But here I come. I'm Elijah, by the way. Hey, you. Go make me supper. Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. You know, well, now, what if I come up and I said, hey, you know, I've been in this desert for days and I'm really hungry and that, and could you, you know, God told me that you'd provide me with something. Could you do that?
I have a son to care about, and he doesn't hardly have any food. I need to think about him first.
Okay. See, I want you to understand. Elijah didn't beg. Elijah didn't. He relied on God's blessing. God said, go to this woman. I've eaten some of her food. It's very good. So, you know, I'm. Yeah, Joe cooks very well too. But he went to her. And he didn't question God. And he said, he didn't say, hey, well, God told me this is your direction. Oh, do you love God? Yeah, you do? Well, then you better listen. No. He went and he said, do this. He relied because God said to him, go there. This woman's prepared. She wasn't prepared. Except right here. Right here was where she was prepared. Wasn't she? Right here, she was prepared. See, she had a heart that was right. And see, this is what I want you to understand. Okay? I may be the person that God sends you and says, hey, do this. Dave, do this. You know, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kiln. I look at Facebook on Saturday, typically my one day a week, for about 5 minutes. And it just happened, the first thing that come up was the thermometer with 127 degrees. And I'm thinking, where on earth is that? And then I found out it's a kiln in Dave's house. And it sounds like, based on what I'm hearing, that it's solar run. Oh, it's heated? Okay. Boy, I'm glad, because I didn't want to think that you were relying totally on drying your wood out with just the sun, because, man, you're in trouble. We don't have that much of it. But I kind of got that idea when I read, you know, the post that maybe you were talking about the outside temperature. This is great when it's 25 outside. But if I went to him and I said, do this, and he's in the middle of the spiritual battle, and he's in the desert, and not because Tracy's in the desert, Dave's in the desert with her. And I say, do this to Dave, and Dave looks at me and says, well, who are you? See, I want you to see the interactions here that God did. See, Elijah was the prophet. We know Elijah was following God's will. Elijah was the messenger. He went to Ahab and told him a message. Didn't react. So Elijah spent time in the desert because Ahab didn't react. Kind of like Jonah, huh? Jonah took a trip because he didn't think the people were going to react. So that's why he avoided doing it. Have you ever avoided doing something because you really felt that God wasn't going to do it anyhow? You know? Well, if I go to this person and try to help them, they're not willing to take it. They're not going to listen. They're stubborn. They're bullheaded. Oh, wait. That's just me. God says to Elijah, go. He goes. And then he relies on God's promise. He realized that God's going to bless him. The woman had to do the same thing, didn't she? Wait, maybe even more so. See, sometimes God might send me to help you out of your desert, but you got to help me out of mine. You know, because do we always recognize why we're in the desert? It's not always a thing, you know. We don't always recognize. We just know that it just doesn't. Man, God, I don't know what I did to deserve all this, but, you know. So we have to understand. And there's one last thing then. Because I think this happened in all cases. And if you look at different scripture, there's one thing that we have to remember in all of this. We have to worship God. We have to worship God. When we're in the middle of the desert and things are going wrong, praise God. When we're on top of the mountain and things are going right, praise God. When we're down again, praise God. We have to worship and praise God for everything that comes into our lives, whether we're in the desert or whether we're not. Because, see, that's the way we get out. That is the way we get out. See, when we listen to God, we lean upon God and we rely on His blessing, even if things are going bad, and we praise God for that, that's when we eventually get out. Oh, by the way, it's not in our timing. Okay? I thought that was rather rough penalty for Moses to have to wander around for 40 years because some of his people started going, I don't like this. We had that yesterday. Can I eat something more? See, those people weren't relying on God's blessing, were they? We have to rely on that. And so we have to understand God. And this is what This is the thing that we have to understand. Sometimes the reason we're in the desert and we're not seeing the blessing of God is because we didn't put Him first. This is what we have to see out of this whole thing. Sometimes we're in that desert. And we think that we've been in there long enough. God, you know, I've learned everything I can learn from this episode. Can you now start moving forward? But see, what we have to understand, Tracy said it this morning, I'm trusting more in God. You want to get out of the desert? Trust in God. Put Him first. Lean on Him. And say, God, all right, here's the steps. What am I going to learn from this episode? I'm in the desert for a reason. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days for what? To be tempted of Satan. He was in there for a reason, wasn't he? I'm in the desert for a reason. May not be something I did. We can't always look at it that the reason I'm spiritually just right now, I'm struggling, and I have all these trials and tests, and Satan just seems to be attacking because I did something wrong. No. It's because God wants you to learn and to draw closer and to rely on Him. Because I'll be honest with you, when everything's going great, we have a tendency to forget to rely on God. We are all human. And when things are going really good, we forget. We need to rely on God. And so God sometimes sends us to the desert just to get our attention. You want to get out of the desert, put Him first. If you're in a trial, give it to God. You know, don't hang on to the fears. Don't hang on to the, well, this is happening and I can't do this. Because you know what? I can't do it. I can't do it. And you're all in the same boat with me. We can't do it alone. We can try. We can put that effort out there, But I'm telling you right now, without God, we can't do it. So we got to rely on God. We got to trust in Him. Abraham was credited for righteousness because of his faith. His faith was credited as righteousness. Okay? He trusted in God. He trusted in God when God told him he was going to have a son. He trusted in God when God told him to kill that son. He trusted God. And so when we're in the midst of the desert, if we really want to get out, it's totally put God first. Put God first. Say, God, I don't know what the outcome of this is. It may not be what I want it to be. But God, I will trust you that whatever the outcome is, it's right for me. Because I love you and I'm putting you first. And this is what happened to Elijah. He put God first. God kept him. He went to this widow. I don't know how long he was with the widow. I don't know if I didn't look to see if the scripture says he was there for days, weeks, months, years. But as long as he was with that widow, she had flour and oil to continue to feed her, her son, and Elijah. Put God first. If you're in a trial or test today, put God first. If you're struggling with something spiritually, put God first. If you just don't know what direction to go in, put God first. Because if you trust in God and you give Him first place, He's going to lift you out of the desert. See, we can't get out on our own. I said about the people that went across Death Valley, many, many, many of them did not make it. We can't get out of the desert ourselves. If we're in the desert, it's because God has a plan for us. And until we recognize and trust God for that plan, until we say, God, I'm leaving it in your hands, and whatever the outcome, whatever, it's your will, God. It's your will, and I'm going to live with that, and I'm going to do whatever I can to support that. Even if it's not something that I understand. I'm sure the woman didn't understand totally when she made Elijah that cake, what it meant to her. Still had to be a little doubt. Marcia, I'm not coming to your house for lunch today because you already told me you're not feeding me. I love it when people interact like that. Marcia, you did a great job. And I picked on Marcia because Marcia's quiet, but when you get to know Marcia, she brings out a lot of good stuff. There's a lot hidden in that quietness. But think about this. Where are you at today? Are you on the mountain? I wish we could all say we're on the mountain. You know, some of you are. Some of you are being blessed by God, and maybe your life is just right now going great. Believe me, there's a desert ahead. Maybe you're in the desert today. If you want to get out of the desert, put God first. It's the only way. And when you lean on Him, throw the fears, the comfort, everything else that you think about and say, God, I am going to focus on one thing, and that's you. This isn't going right, but I'm going to focus on you. This isn't going right, but I'm going to focus on you. This isn't going right, but I'm going to focus on you. And you know what? God will take you by the hand, and He'll lead you out of that desert. And when you come out of the desert, you heard me say about Moses? Went to the backside of the desert. You know what was on the backside of the desert? Huh? Promised land. Even when Moses went out, when he was there, what did he find? He found his future wife. He found water. He found, you know, there was a mountain that was just great. See, on the backside of the desert is the promised land. And God promises all of us that when we go with Him through the desert, when we come out, we will be led into that promised land. You know? And it doesn't mean we'll never go back into another desert. I'm not one of those people that thinks that it's always going to be great. We struggle as Christians because God is building us. And he's giving us more grace. You know, aren't you glad for God's grace? You know, God has so much grace that we just can't even imagine it. We've only touched the surface of God's grace in understanding it. But he's there and he said, you know what? I'm going to take you out of the desert. I'm going to give you the promised land. And the next time I need to teach you something, I'm going to let you go back into the desert. You understand that? He's allowing us to go into the desert to help fulfill his purpose for us. It's not a punishment. In most cases, if we really think of it as right, it's a privilege. It's a privilege that God allows us to go through the desert so that we can see him and draw closer to him. And that's what Elijah did. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you do take care of us and that you provide for us. And Lord, we thank you for the times when we go through the desert and we come out the other side into that promised land. I know sometimes it's rough for us when we're in that desert. We look around us and all we see is nothing but bad. But God, if we focus on you, all we'll get is nothing but good. Let's go out this week thanking you and praising you, God, for the deserts that you allow to come into our life that we may draw closer to you. For it's in that valley that you restore our soul. And when you restore our soul, we are credited with righteousness because of your grace. Thank you, God. Go with each one. Bless each one. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen. You're dismissed. And that was a lot longer.